You're listening to the Wordslinger Podcast, episode 73, Living Well with Roland Denzel.
Hey, that rhymed.
Writing a book. It can be the best way to build or grow your business. Or to simply tell the story that you wish to tell. Learn how to write your book in 30 days or less. Pick up 30-day offer today from Amazon, Apple iBooks, or other online retailers.
It's the Word Slinger Podcast, where story matters. Build your brand, write your book, redefine who you are. It's all about the story here. What's yours? Now, here's the guy who invented pants optional, Kevin Tomlinson, the Word Slinger.
Word Slinger.
Hey everybody, this is Kevin Tomlinson, the Word Slinger, as if you didn't know. So thanks for tuning in again. And today I'm actually running a little behind, and I apologize for that. Some of you are coming to the podcast a little later than usual, and it's mostly because of, you know, life gets in the way sometimes, and I've been traveling, and I've been dealing with some projects, and there's been some fun stuff, but there's been some not so fun stuff. But here we are. We made it. We all got here together. So let's hang out. So today I'm actually talking to somebody. You know, he's one of those, here we go. Here's a little trivia. He's actually been on the show before. Not really on the show. He has appeared on the Wordslinger Podcast before. Now, maybe I'll do some kind of little giveaway or something to the first person who can write me and tell me when he was on the show before and how. So there you go. That's all the hints I'm going to give you. And I don't know what prize I'll give you yet. Maybe I'll send you a free ebook? We'll do that. Maybe a couple. So I'll pick something nice. You'll get something nice. But if you will email me from my website, go to wordslingerpodcast.com, click on the contact button, and you can email me and tell me exactly when Roland Denzel, or Roland Denzel, depends on how you, you know, what he's feeling like today, but how Roland appeared on the show and when. So first person to do that, I'll give you a nice something. I promise it'll be worthwhile. So that we're going to get to that interview in a second, and I'm really excited about it because I really like Roland. He's a great guy. We just had a chat yesterday. You know, about some of the things he's got on his plate, some of which you'll hear about actually in this interview. So I hope you'll go check out his work. You'll find links to everything he does in the show notes. But the dude is all about, you know, eating well, living well. I mean, that's the title of their book. I mean, but he's all about that, you know, healthier, better lifestyle, making you feel better. And that's something really important. No matter what type of entrepreneur you happen to be, whether you are of the small business variety, the author variety, or the employed by someone else variety, feeling better is kind of important. So I think you'll like this episode. Now, a little bit of housekeeping before we start. First, I want to say a big thank you to Honoree Corder, who you have heard on this show before, but she was very generous and decided she would help support the show through the Patreon campaign. So thanks, Honoree. I really do appreciate that. It's very helpful. If you would like to help out, help me produce the show a little, and help me kind of further the mission of the show, you can jump into the Patreon campaign. In fact, depending on where you came across this podcast, you can probably find a link to that campaign. But if you go to wordslingerpodcast.com, there's a button right there on the homepage of the show. And on every single episode's show notes, there's a big button. It's really hard to miss. It's at the bottom, but it's hard to miss. And you can click on that, and as little as $1 a month is really helpful. I have this big dream goal here to start raising $5,000 a month for producing this show. And that actually will help me kind of extend its reach. It can help, you know, it can help with some of the overhead of the show. And by overhead, I mean, there's not really a lot of financial expense, I guess, other than if I were to pay people to do some of the work that I do, but the time it would free up for me so that I can go write more books would be invaluable. So there's all that. Plus, there's a lot of plans I have for the growth of the show, building a community around it, building resources for you guys. So A lot of that is in the works. It's just all on me and, you know, a couple of dedicated, loyal volunteers. So if you'd like to volunteer, by the way, you can also contact me at that email address on the website. So, or you can call and leave me a voicemail. The number, of course, is 281-809-WORD. That's 281-809-9673. You can also leave questions. You can leave comments of any kind. I hope you dig that. Another thing I want to bring up, and this is something kind of cool. Lately, so a couple of months ago, I decided I would start writing a blog post every single day. And that has turned into, I thought it would be a ton of work, and it really wasn't a ton of work. But then one day, I decided, you know what, I haven't done this in a while. I'll write a short story. So I wrote a short story. I broadcast it to my mailing list. And everyone loved it. And so I thought, you know what? That was fun. Let's do it again. So I did it again. And again, everyone loved it. And I got all these comments. And I started noticing that suddenly people were much more engaged with my mailing list. They were popping in on the blog posts. They were commenting. They were emailing. They were sharing with friends. I started seeing my engagement went up. But, I was getting new subscribers on the mailing list. I was seeing some book sales kind of pop up from that because, I would mention it every now and then. If you like this story, you might like this book. And it's been amazing to see that happen. So if you would like to check out some of those short stories, I'd love to hear your feedback. You can get on the mailing list as well and get 3 free books. So you might want to check it out. But go to kevintumlinson.com/blog. And you'll be able to see, I've committed to, basically I've been writing a short story every day, we'll call it every weekday, except for Fridays. Fridays I do my whole roundup, what I was doing when you weren't looking thing, and I don't want to stop doing that, and so it takes about the same amount of time. But if you like short stories, I've been doing a lot of them. I've done 4 a week for the past couple of weeks now, so go check that out and let me know what you think if you're into fiction. If you're not into fiction, it's fine. You don't have to. But I will tell you, by the way, and this is a special announcement I'm only making on this show because it doesn't include Amazon, and I don't want to send it to my list per se because it's too hard to differentiate for people. So the big announcement is I'm actually part of the big Kobo Super... What are they calling it? Their Super Sale. So Evergreen is being featured on the fiction side. If you haven't read that, I think you'll really enjoy it. And so you can get it for $1.99 on Kobo right now and on other, everyone but Amazon. Don't ask me why. It was a difficult thing to switch it. And I decided, you know what? For once, we're going to exclude Amazon. Sorry, guys. Sorry, Amazon readers. I mean, I offer that book for about that price pretty frequently. So it'll come back around if you're a Kindle reader. I don't mean to exclude you. I'm really just kind of excluding Amazon at the moment. But the other book is 30 Day Author. That one's also on sale on Kobo, Apple iBooks, and several other retailers. And that's through April 2nd. So it's not a long sale. It's just a short promotion, and really it was only meant for Kobo, but changing my prices there, it was just as easy to do all of them as it was to do Kobo itself, and Amazon gave me a fit for some reason, so I'll make it up to you. But if you are a Kobo reader or an Apple iBooks reader, or I think Nook is still around, right? You can go check out those books and get them for discounted rates. I think 99 cents for 30 Day Author and $1.99 for Evergreen. So go check it out. So that said, let's get past this nonsense. We're almost 10 minutes in, so let's get to the really important stuff, which is this interview with Roland Denzel, my good friend, somebody I'm really enjoying getting to know better, really grateful I've met, and I think you'll be grateful to hear his advice on living well. Hey everyone, today I'm talking to, I kind of consider this guy a budding new bestie, because of all the conversations we end up having on Facebook and other social media outlets. And he actually has sent in questions and called in with questions on the show, so thanks, Roland. So I'm talking to Roland Denzel, or Roland Denzel. We kind of had a little debate before the... beginning of the show about the best way to pronounce his name. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good. I don't want to confuse anyone on how your name should be pronounced. We're just rolling with Denzel now.
Let's go with Denzel. It's easiest to remember. And since my family is from German descent and no one in America knows how to say it anyway except for native German speakers, we can pick whatever we want.
There you go. It's always good when you can define your own terms, man. Yeah. So Roland is the author of Man on Top, Lose Fat, Get Fit, and Control Your Weight for Life, something I definitely need to pick up and read. He's also the author of the upcoming Eat Well, Move Well, Live Well, 52 Ways to Feel Better in a Week. You and your wife are fond of the really long titles.
Well, yes. She's not.
Okay.
But if in reality, if we could just stick like a short title on the book, our goal is to have the book, like the title, just say what it is right there.
Right.
But you got with a nonfiction book, you kind of have to give it a little subtitle and let people know what they're in for. And it's really hard to spell that out in words that are big enough for people to see on the Amazon thumbnail.
Yeah. And, it's kind of a cheat. I mean, I don't have to read the subtitle. I mean, that's almost just like keyword stuffing, I guess, in a way. Like you don't have to give that out every time you talk about the book. Not really.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. And except for, let's say, our book that's coming out, it kind of Eat Well, Move Well, Live Well kind of gives you the gist of it. So you don't really need, if I'm introducing myself, I wouldn't need to give the subtitle. But Man on Top, you don't really know what that.
Yeah, that's one you want to kind of elaborate on.
You better.
you're going to get the wrong demographic, I think.
It's interesting because we talk about it a lot. Like we've considered changing the name of that book.
Yeah.
Just because it's not obvious what it is, if you're browsing on Amazon.
Right.
I think we always joke that if we were on Oprah or Ellen or somebody else and we had a chance to hold up the book, then the Man on Top cover and the title is awesome. It's like, oh, Man on Top. It opens up the conversation. You get to talk a little bit about it. But when somebody's browsing on Amazon, it's really good to have a subtitle.
Yeah. So you're – okay. I did not add this to your list of titles here, but I mean, what should we call you? You're a fitness guru. Everyone hates the word guru, though.
You know, I hate the word guru just because there's so many people that claim to be gurus that really aren't. So I would guess I would have to say I'm not a guru in that sense. I feel like, there are so many people, I have my own gurus, right? We all have our own gurus that we look to. And my goal in all of our books and in what I write on the blog and what I post on Facebook is really to take the wisdom of all these gurus that I follow and distill it down into something that the person with the most basic fitness goal can get something out of.
Right.
So I guess I hope that one day somebody will think of me as a guru of communicating the uncommunicatable. And that's a good start, right? That's a good start right there.
That is a good start. That goes along with the rest of your hyper long titles that won't fit on a business card. But
you can use that as the title to the podcast.
Yes,
it reminds me of Steve. I don't know if you ever heard that Steve Martin has a thing. He's a famous saying. He says some people have a way with words. Some people, I don't know, not have way. I guess.
Yeah, I think I've read that. Did you ever read his biography? By the way, Born Standing Up. His autobiography.
No,
it's brilliant, but it's kind of depressing. Like, you don't expect it. Like, you're so used to the guy with the arrow through his head or playing the banjo that, you start reading about his life and he's very somber. Well, I guess because I listened to it on Audible, so it was even more depressing. So,
Did he read it? Did he read it too?
Yeah, he read it. I believe. I don't want to lie about that. I'm 98% sure he did, though. Is usually a good idea. And, you've been pushing me to read 30 Day Author, which I'm totally doing. I just got sidetracked by this whole RV life.
Well, I'm pushing you to do it, but that, right, in essence, I'm pushing myself to do it, because I have a couple of our books are short enough where I, and they're more text based. I think they would work well. I don't know that Man on Top would be a great audiobook because there's so many exercises and recipes and things like that, which is riveting in audio, right?
Right.
One cup of tomato paste.
I think there's an audience for that. If there's an audience for Bigfoot porn, there's an audience for that.
Please read the recipe, but read it more
slowly. Let it simmer. Okay, so you are all about, most of the posts I see from you are things I know I should be doing, and it's about eating. I like the, you're about food. You're about a better quality, better quantity, better consistency of food, right? I mean, that's kind of what I get from when I follow your posts anyway.
Exactly. I'll be honest. I lost most of my weight by counting calories.
Yeah.
It was like 110 pounds from my highest. I lost it counting calories and jogging, like exercise, eat the typical recommendation of eat less, move more. Right. So I can say that it works. And when people say that it doesn't work, it really doesn't work in the long run for most people, because it's a huge pain in the butt to keep that up. So over the years, I found that changing the type of food that I eat to a higher quality of food and putting more care into it and caring more about the food sort of not only makes it easier to eat closer to the right amounts, but also seems to have like I guess it sort of builds on each other. Yeah. It's easier to maintain the levels of food you should be eating for your weight, but it also has sort of retrained your brain a little bit to expect quality food and recognize it as quality food and be happier with that type of quality food. So you're not always craving more junk, I guess.
Yeah. Food is a challenge for me anyway, but it's really going to be a challenge when we get on the road. Because, you're tempted. Every stop, every time you stop for gas, there's, fried chicken and burgers and, hot dogs and that sort of thing. But just the sheer volume of candy bars and other junk food, man. So I'm going to have to figure out a way to get around that. I'm going to have to carry some veggies with me.
Yeah, it's tough. And one of the things that you just pointed out is one of the keys is the variety, the sheer variety that's sort of thrust upon us. I was listening to another podcast. Don't be offended.
There are other podcasts.
Well, there's writing an entrepreneurial podcast, which is just has one in its category. The word slinger.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah.
And then there's all the other ones like health and stuff like that. So on the health one, one of them that they talked about how there's these foods that have been designed to be very highly palatable, super, super palatable. And it's not palatable isn't just like, oh, that's delicious, but it's the underlying effects of these foods and the additives and sort of like how this food has been engineered both in taste, texture, price, packaging, look, feel, all these things to be more than just palatable and tasty, but hyper palatable. And it triggers certain receptors in our brain, just like drugs or alcohol or coffee or sex or whatever. So, but even then, if you had the same, like there's the, what is it, Lay's that you can't just eat one?
Right.
Lay's. So everyone probably likes Lay's to some degree, right? And let's say you love Lay's or Doritos or something like that. If you only had Lay's or Doritos or whatever that one favorite food is, pretty soon you'd get tired of it.
Right.
Even people who that's like their go-to food, they're not gonna like if that was the only thing they were having, they would pretty much get tired of it. So it's not just the fact that the Doritos or the Lay's have been so perfectly engineered, but it's the fact that there are other things that are like Lay's but aren't.
Right.
You know, so even though, so if Lay's and Doritos didn't have competition from other vendors, they would still continue to make all these different varieties themselves to keep on the shelves because the variety is what keeps people coming back, I think.
That's interesting. It's like saying that because there are alternatives, you make alternatives so that people keep buying your primary product.
Yeah.
Because they're, the, you know, if people love Lay's, you don't want them to get tired of Lay's. So you make a whole bunch of different flavored Lay's or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, so, how many times have you seen, like, you go, like, look in the soda aisle. Like, think right. how many things are in that, and different sodas are in the soda aisle. And most of them are so similar. And then, like, Pepsi will come out with another Pepsi that's just like the other Pepsi.
Yeah.
But it's got, you know, this, or it's got that, or it's more bubbly, or it's half the sugar.
Real sugar.
Real sugar, yeah. You know, Pepsi Natural. What is it, Pepsi Throwback? Or
yeah, something like that.
Retro or something. So, in some, I'm trying to think of, like, some of them, the changes are so subtle. Like, there's Diet Pepsi with lime, then there's Diet Pepsi with lemon. Like, well, how big of a difference really could there be? And I don't really think they care. They just care that they've temporarily put something new out there to keep people interested, and then somebody will eventually, they'll get tired of it, and they'll go back to regular Pepsi.
Right, yeah. You know, I fall for this all the time, by the way, especially with candy bars. Like, I'm a big fan of Milky Way. So there's like 15 different varieties of Milky Way at this point or something, and I want to try them all because I'm a big fan of Milky Way. And I want that new experience. So I'm a sucker for that.
Well, I'm sure Milky Way started as a Snickers without nuts, because it's basically that's what it is.
I think
right?
that's pretty much what it is, yeah.
So the Snickers people went, oh, no, let's take the nuts out and
sort
see
of
what
a
happens.
Unix, it's a Unix Snickers is what it is.
Yes. Very
yes,
clever.
I'm sure that was their thought process. Like, you know, we've got three varieties of candy bar. How can we turn it into 15 varieties? I'm sure it works like that.
Yeah, don't even get me started on the Twizzlers versus Red Vines.
Oh, man. There's no competition between Twizzlers and Red Vines.
Red Vines are where it's at.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. So moving on.
Wait a minute.
No. Moving on. All right. So here's the deal. I'm an unfortunately hefty guy, which is unfortunate, because for a while there, I was really trim. I lost a bunch of weight. I counted calories. You know, I walked every day. You know, I lost a lot of weight, but then I put it all back on after we bought a house. So, four years later, we've sold the house. I'm hoping I can trim it all down again. I don't know what the house had to do with anything. Maybe just the stress of home ownership. I'm not sure. But you know my lifestyle, man. I'm a sedentary guy because I'm, you know, sitting in front of a keyboard 8 to 10 hours a day minimum. And now I have my nifty Apple Watch, which, you know, bugs me all the time to get up and walk and stretch and, you know,
that's good.
Do all kinds of things. And I think I'm seeing some benefit from that. But how does a guy like me, I don't know, I don't want to just lose weight. I want to be healthier and more energetic and, you know, more fit, especially once we start traveling. So what's your advice for the wordslinger?
Well, there's sort of a hierarchy of things. And really, like, as hard as it is to take this,
you know,
nutrition and the amount of nutrition that you take in is the biggest part, right? There's a saying in the fitness industry that you can't outrun a bad diet.
Okay.
And it's not entirely true, but you can't keep outrunning it. Like, because your body sort of adjusts to the level of badness of the nutrition, and you have to run farther or run longer or run harder.
Okay.
So really, nutrition is going to be the biggest thing. Now, that's not to say that exercise doesn't play an important role, because exercise not only does burn calories, but it also builds muscle. And when it's time to lose fat, it encourages your body to retain the lean body mass, which is like muscle, tendon, bone, and things like that, in favor of losing body fat. So the exercise is good. And it doesn't have to be like lifting heavy weights, although that's a good way to do it. But being out there and being active in one way or another is very important, especially during the weight loss process. But there's, when you talk to somebody, you said an important thing about health. Mm-hmm. Walking is a very underrated.
Underrated? Okay.
Underrated. And in some cases, it's overrated. It's overrated when it comes to fat loss, because it doesn't really burn very many calories.
Right.
So a lot of times people say, they do the math and they go, well, look how long I'd have to walk, or look how hard I'd have to walk. I might as well be running. And then they give up the walking. Mm-hmm. But walking plays an important role in your overall health. We as a people are sort of designed to run, I mean, designed to walk, and as our primary means of transportation. And over the years, we've done it less and less. And it's sort of to our detriment. So, you know, walking does a lot of stuff to not only just pump the blood around, but clear like lymph nodes, yeah, the lymph flow. And it also makes sure that our body, our musculoskeletal system is lined up properly. So when we do walk, we're getting the right type of vibrations up the bones, up the long bones of our body to ensure that we're not going to have osteoporosis or osteopenia in the future. So walking is a good part. So like what I typically tell people is, you know, work on your nutrition and then try to get that in line, and also try to walk more, because until you're walking more, it's really hard to do too much. Well, I don't know. Everyone's different, Kevin.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to take a step back and say that you have to find something that you enjoy, because with as well. Because if you don't do something, do the things that you enjoy, you're not going to keep it up.
And that's go ahead.
It has to be sustainable, both in the food and in the exercise and the movement. But so I would typically say the walking is very important. And then the next thing I would recommend for people is some sort of resistance training, either weights or like an body weight exercises, which tend to work pretty well, especially for traveling. You don't want to, you know, it's kind of hard to get a gym membership everywhere you go.
Right.
But you can get a simple device. It's called a suspension trainer. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's called like a TRX or a Jungle Gym. It's like a series of straps that you can attach to like a tree or a pole or a chin-up bar in a park. And you can use that in conjunction with your body weight to do like pulling exercises and things like that. And I can send you some links to show you some examples of it.
Definitely do that. I'll put them in the show notes. Because I've seen the resistance bands. We have a couple of those in our in our home. My wife uses them. And
yeah, great.
I have used them. Not as much as I should.
Yeah. Well, I don't like them. I mean, I don't like the way they feel.
Yeah.
But I do like this, like the TRX or the suspension straps.
Okay.
Because they're a little bit more fun. They get you outside. And although you can do them inside too, as long as you have I don't know if you can do it in an RV, but you could, but you might be able to, like, just like you attach an awning or something to an RV, you would be able to find a place that's that could support human body weight,
right?
Not in the meat hook sense, but just in like this exercise sense, and attach this pole to it, I mean the strap to it, and do things like that.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of how I'm going to ask the manufacturer of the RV. Like, is there any space in the RV that can support human body weight?
Well, you could say I'm a hunter, and sometimes I have to hang something that's about 200 pounds on the side of the RV.
Exactly.
And yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, for the days when I was 200 pounds. I actually haven't weighed 200 pounds since I was in high school. But I was a beef. I was a runner in high school, so I was very fit, but I was 200 pounds, just the way I was built. So up from there.
Well, that's like me. I was, you know, either I sort of cycled between chubby and fat for most of my life until I was 35.
Yeah. Well, some of us kept going. So, nutrition. Okay. So that appeals to me actually, because I like good food, you know, I mean, I recognize that I am overweight, but I know that a large portion of that is not lack of movement, but probably just the sheer, you know, the garbage that I end up eating because I'm in a hurry, because I don't have time to cook something or whatever. So as far as getting the good food, I mean, what are some recommendations? Just raid the veggie aisle in your grocery store, or should we aim for something a little higher?
Well, that's the first step. Like the first, like one of the biggest challenges is people freeze because they can't be perfect. It's like they're going from fast food.
Yeah.
And you ask them to go buy fruits, vegetables, and like fresh frozen meat that they can cook at home, and they say, "Well, I can't afford to eat organic." I go, "Well, but the fast food you're eating isn't organic." So Don't you recognize that this is better than the fast food you're eating, or the package, the hamburger helper, something like that, right? Yeah. So once you kind of get that stuff, yes, ultimately, you know, it would be great if you could go all organic and grass fed beef and stuff like that. But right now, the first goal is just to change from bad food to better food, and from food that is not very satiating, which is the processed food and the basically food that's cooked for you.
Right.
Or prepared for you in one sense or the other, because there's so many, it doesn't need to have additives, artificial chemicals, or things like that to be hyper palatable. It just has to have been really well designed by master chefs.
Yeah.
Right. There was a study recently that talked about how in the United States, up to 70% of all of the meals are now prepared by somebody else, either in a restaurant or in a box or a bag or a can or something like that.
Right.
And 70%, compare that to about 100, 200 years ago, it was probably like 1 or 2%.
Right.
Yeah. So, and all of these companies that produce these things are competing for your dollar. Mm-hmm. So they want to make this stuff as delicious and hyper palatable as possible. So they win the battle.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Even when you try to cook your own meals, I'd say the largest percentage of the time, the things that you're cooking with are prepared by someone else. So, you know, we don't make our own bread, for example, you know, and there's all kinds of things that go into just a standard meal that someone else is cooking for you.
That's true. So like, and that's an important point, because like people say, like one of the things that we recommend for people is to, you know, cut down on processed food, but you have to also go with the spirit of processed food. So if you are going from, there's a big difference between the processing that goes into making a hamburger patty that you make at home. Yeah. Yes, it's processed because it was ground and, you know, put into a plastic container to sit at the butcher shop and things like that.
Right.
But that's a lot of different processing from the burger patty or the prepared meatloaf that has breadcrumbs and spice mixes and natural flavors added. That kind of stuff, all of which are combined in the perfect way to get you to want another meatloaf next week.
Right.
Or tomorrow.
Or tomorrow.
Or later this afternoon. I know. I better buy two of these because I'm going to be hungry later.
Yeah. You know, that's the other thing, by the way, and we say this in jest, but I mean, seriously, when, for example, today, I went and I was hungry. What I decided to do was take a walk to kind of blow off some steam between recording sessions. You know, there's the new neighborhood we live in. There are places within walking distance that I can go to, and they're not always the best choices food wise. But I bought a breakfast taco, but decided I would buy two breakfast tacos for some reason, and then I felt guilty and had to eat both breakfast tacos. You know, so it's kind of those were poor choices from the beginning. But I don't know how to. My body's telling me at that point, you're hungry enough to eat two breakfast tacos, and if you don't get both, you'll regret it. So I don't know how to overcome that. I know I should. Maybe it's just pure willpower.
It is hard. Like there's basically two types of people. You could say that with everything, right? But there's two types of people when it comes to like how they want to change no one wants to change their diet, right? But when they decide that they're going to do it, some people want to do exactly the same thing, but they just want to eat less. They want to count the calories and weigh and measure and, you know, and that can certainly work. And some people have really good results with that. And then on the flip side is people who say, you know what, I need to make a sort of a fundamental change because the types of foods that I'm eating, even though I could possibly just eat less of them.
Yeah.
It's very hard to eat less of them.
Right.
Because I'm not satisfied. Like Kevin, imagine if I told you the proper amount is 1.5 tacos.
Right.
well, now what do I do?
Now I'm throwing away half a taco.
I'm still a little hungry, and now I'm faced with looking at this taco. So I say, why don't you cut that taco in half and throw it away before you even sit down to eat it?
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm wasting it. Well, maybe they can make you a half a taco. Well, you know, it's not going to happen. So, I mean, it's not always that simple, because sometimes you look at it doesn't have to be a meal by meal basis. It can be over the course of a day. Like I can say you need to eat 20% less throughout the day.
Right.
And you'll pick and choose what you're going to eat less of. And that can work. But you're still, if your diet has been primarily these processed hyperpalatable foods, it can be very hard in the long run to stick with that.
Right.
Yeah. There are people that can do it, and I did it, but I found that even after, this is like, seems like so depressing. I was having a conversation with one of my friends, one of my writing partners, and I told him, like, even after a couple of years of having lost the weight, I was fine. I was able to maintain that weight loss, but I was constantly hungry.
Yeah.
Constantly. And it wasn't until I really made fundamental changes to the types of foods that I ate and then gave it some time that I was able to sort of get over that.
Yeah. I've always heard that it kind of comes across like an urban legend at times, but I mean, I've always heard that, and I haven't just heard it. I've experienced this. When you buy and eat high quality food, you tend to be less hungry. And the justification for buying like the expensive organic food was always that it was higher quality, and so you'd end up eating less of it. So you end up spending probably about the same amount of money overall, but you feel better and you're fit and trim and that sort of thing. Is there any validity to that at all, or am I just fooling myself?
Well, I hate to burst people's placebo effect. So, I mean, there could there could be some of that. Yeah. I mean, and in some ways, we don't really. I mean, we do care, like the scientists care, but you don't want to care too much about why some of these work. You don't want to be doing stuff that's just totally bogus, that's not getting you anywhere.
Right.
But there is a thing where if you cook the, you know, you can buy. Like, I could go out to eat and pay too much for a big piece of salmon and it doesn't look that big, right? It doesn't look that big, so I'm not very satisfied. But at home, I bought this nice piece of salmon. I cooked it, or my wife cooked it. We had a nice salad with it. And it's, you know, and I know that, we really splurged on this high quality stuff. And in some ways, it's much more satisfying.
Right.
So it can, that certainly can work. There are certainly arguments for both.
Yeah.
But I found that that's the case. Like we can pick a nice piece of meat and splurge on it and be much more satisfied than you, when you have something that's the same amount, but it's just like a cheap steak that you got at a restaurant.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I've noticed that with steak in particular, that sort of thing. I mean, I see that often. Like, if you buy a cheap steak and it just doesn't hit the spot, I guess, you know, it doesn't do it. So you end up eating like twice as much steak as you normally would because you still feel like you're hungry after the meal.
Yeah, and there are people that will eat too much steak at home. Like, they'll be like, I'm going to have a steak, so I'm going to buy a pound of steak per person. There are people like that. But in general, what I've noticed, and both personally and in my extended family, is like when I go out to a steakhouse, the guys will eat these like 12-ounce, 16-ounce steaks, which is like 3 to 4 times the general recommended amount of steak for like a quarter of a pound. Hmm. But when you get it at home, you're splurging, so you're having this steak, so you might still eat a half a pound, but you're not eating 3/4 of a pound or a full pound.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is you look at this when you go to the grocery store and you realize, well, I'm eating this at home. It's not necessarily the same kind of special occasion as when I'm going out. So what's the normal amount to eat? And then you bump it up a little bit to make, you know, to make it a little more satisfying. But in the end, you've now eaten a higher quality, fewer calories, mm-hmm. and you've spent less money too.
Yeah. I like the spend less money part.
I know.
Getting healthy. So, okay, let's talk a little about the new book, what's coming out.
Oh, sure.
And it's Eat Well, Move Well, Live Well. I like those, all three of those things. 52 Ways to Feel Better in a Week. So what's the premise?
Well, we're really excited about this one. Each chapter, there's the introductory chapters and things like that, but then there's 52 little chapters.
Okay.
Each one with a very important health benefit in one way or another. So it's like a health, 52 health lessons. You could do them over the course of a year. You could do, you know, pick and choose. It's sort of in the choose your own adventure style. So you pick the first one, the first couple, it leads you down the ones that we think are important, sort of teaches you how the book is going to work. And then after that, we give you, here's the suggested area to go next. If you want to do this, go over here. If you want to go do this, go over here. And they can be as simple as like what we just talked about when we talked about movement, right? So as an author or many consultants, people in offices, they sit most of the day. You could end up sitting 8-10 hours a day, and then you go home and you sit some more. And if you drive, you drove home probably, you know, sitting.
Right.
And you take the train, you're mostly going to sit. So like everyone sits, you sit at lunch, you sit at breakfast. So you're sitting all the time. There's nothing really wrong per se with sitting. It's the fact that you're sitting so much and to the exclusion of other things.
Right.
So in this particular chapter, we look at what are some ways, we give you the reasons why it's important to make a change, and then give you some really easy ways to start off right now with sitting less. But also sitting differently. And it could be, you know, when you want to talk about sitting less, what could you do? You could sit and stand every once in a while. Not everyone has a stand-up workstation. Right. But you can, if you have a tablet, you can read your email while you're standing up on your tablet, using your tablet. You could invite your group to have a walking meeting instead of a sitting meeting.
Okay.
Things like that. So, and then getting into a little bit more about the specifics of, if you're going to sit, because we all have to sit, maybe there's ways you can sit a little bit better. And so there's different ways with your posture and your body's alignment that you can set things up where it's a little bit healthier. And then it's a matter of variety, because even if you pick the best ergonomic chair and get yourself set up perfectly, after a period of time in that position, you're really back to the same boat as you were with your poor chair.
So it really is more about moving often.
It's being dynamic.
Yeah.
And I'll give you, there's a specific study that you've heard of the Pomodoro technique.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the Pomodoro technique, I love this thing, but it also works really well with, as a reminder of when to get up and move. So rather than just taking this 25 minutes of the Pomodoro technique, 25 minutes, and then taking 5 minutes to do something else, like that's your five, like a lot of writers say to themselves, or something like that, then they're back to their next 25 minutes. So rather than do that, we suggest you get up and move around.
Right.
It doesn't take much. In fact, they did a study, I think it was in somewhere in Europe. So I don't know. It's all the same to me. I'm kidding. My wife's from Bulgaria and she'd kill me if she heard, hopefully she'll never listen to this, but they looked at the thing that might have been in the Netherlands, and they looked at office workers, and they had them, that took some of them into three different groups. One group, they had work for hours on end, you know, 2 to 4 hours, and then get up and take 20 to 30 minutes of moving around time, exercise, things like that. The other two, they did 30 minutes on, and then asked them to do one half of them, 5 minutes of exercise. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was 30 minutes on, 5 minutes of just walking around. Doesn't matter what it was, walk around, go get a cup of coffee, get a cup of tea, do some filing, things like that. Mm-hmm. And they found that there was really no difference between these two groups. As long as they took that 5 minute break every 30 minutes, just the act of moving around, getting up and moving around for that 5 minutes, had dramatic effects on their blood sugar and their insulin sensitivity. So to the nature of about 20%. So it was a 20% improvement in both, which is pretty big.
Yeah,
especially if you're somebody who's like on the verge of diabetes or metabolic syndrome or things like that.
Right. Wow. Well, that's good news. I mean, that's simple. That's fairly simple. So you should be able to.
And the people who did the exercise, there's no difference. I mean, they didn't get more benefit by actually exercising.
See, I like that part. Because I can throw that in people's face.
Well, and no one wants to get sweat. I mean, like if you're in the middle of doing something, it's great to do, like if you're at the end of the day, you want to do some squats or some push-ups or something like that every once in a while. But if you're, if you're in an office, you don't really want to always drop down and give me 20 in between. And the guy in the cubicle next door is looking over going, what the heck's going on over there?
Right. Yeah. You know, I've always been fairly mobile. I mean, I do get up frequently, but there will be these long stretches occasionally, like just because work is very intense and I'll be stuck there. And I always feel the worst on those days. But I've gotten pretty good lately, especially. But I mean, I've always been pretty good about getting up every so often, if nothing else, to make a bathroom run or, just take a break from what I'm doing. So that's good. I'm glad to hear I'm doing something right.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So it's good, and especially like the people who really, are desk bound, like desk jockeys, road warriors. It's even more important. So that's like that's just an example. And then the rest of the chapters they cover everything from meditation to getting more sleep or better sleep.
Yeah.
And then there's some cooking in there as well. So there's a lot as far as pretty much no matter it would be, so you've got like cooking in advance, which is an important thing for people who are busy. Let's see, do some batch cooking on Sunday night to set us up for good recipes throughout the week.
Yeah, we've tried our hand at that a few times. I mean, it gets a little tedious to do that, but
yeah,
maybe we're doing it wrong. I fully admit we could be doing a lot of things wrong. Sleep is something you've mentioned a lot lately, and I'm curious about it because sleep is this thing that it's so important to me, but it seems like everyone's always in some competition to sleep less and less, and I really just want to sleep more. So what qualifies as good sleep?
Good sleep is... Well, okay, so good sleep and enough sleep means that is, I guess you could judge it by if you go to bed and you wake up before your alarm clock wakes you up or before somebody wakes you up unnaturally. So that is the sort of the hallmark of the right amount of sleep. So let's say let's say your body and mind know you need 8.5 hours of sleep. You would set your alarm for 9 hours of sleep or something like that.
Right.
And go to bed early enough to where you would wake up gently before the alarm goes off.
Okay.
So the alarm is sort of your safety net. So but how do you get to that? How do you know that that's enough? Or how do you get to the point where that can be enough sleep?
Right.
Is the tough thing. And it's really hard because our society values people. It's like a badge of honor. Oh, I only got 3 hours of sleep last night. And man, I stayed up so late cranking out those pages. But people not realizing that maybe that they would have even been more productive overall. Maybe they would have gotten more pages if they would have gone to bed, got a good night's sleep, got up a little bit early or on time, and then were able to crank out a few hours of stuff straight.
See, that's my philosophy. And it's hard to explain that to people. Now, I'm going to say this. I mean, I worked in the agency world forever. So, there definitely was a high value on, walking in and saying, I was here until 1 a.m, and I'm back here at 8 a.m, And so it was like a culture that really pushed you to not sleep, and really chastised you for being weak and needing sleep. I frankly don't understand how people survive. Like, as it is, I mean, come like 8:30 or 9 o'clock, I'm already... Basically, around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm pretty useless mentally. So I have to get all my work done really early. And I've developed that process of writing very quickly. I get everything done. And then the rest of the afternoon is all like light brain work,
Yeah.
So I don't understand that whole go without sleep thing.
Well, you ask how they get away with it, but do they?
I don't know that they do. I mean, there's a high burnout rate in that industry. So...
Yeah, and is the work that they, I mean, it's really hard to know. You'd have to, do it, and then the same person would have to go back in time and do it again with different habits.
Yeah, they do a numbers game, right? I mean, it's all about it's not so much that guy staying up till 1 a.m. really knocked it out of the park. It's that guy and the 15 other guys, you know, between all of them, someone's going to come up with a good idea. So well, really,
you've also set a benchmark of over the years of people taking X amount of time to get something like that done.
Right.
So people know, okay, so it takes 12 collective hours to get something like this done, when maybe in reality, if everyone was rested up, maybe they would only need 4 hours collective. Right. Hours. But you know, it's been going on for so many, the culture of no sleeping or not enough sleep has been ingrained in our society. So that's just sort of what we expect. So we've trained ourselves for those expectations.
Yeah.
So there have been plenty of studies that looked at the different aspects of sleep. And one of the things that they talk about, and it's sort of like a cliche, and I think people just don't really believe it, is that an extra hour before bed is more valuable than the hour, right? Extra hour.
So going to bed earlier is better than sleeping in?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. And that's because our bodies are tuned from, you know, how many years of living with that. Like when was electricity? When were electric lights invented?
Oh gosh. Don't put me on the spot for that. Edison's one of my heroes.
Like 100 years ago, 150 years ago.
We're going to go. Yeah, we'll go with that.
Okay. So, and before that, all we had was candles and firelight. Right, gas right. lamps and things like that,
and you didn't let those things run, you know, during the night or anything necessarily.
Yeah. So if you think about, like, you know, I always say, you know, think of, like, even people today, like the Amish or people often, like in a village somewhere that without electricity, they go to bed soon after it gets dark. Now they may be up for a while eating and things like that. They have a fire, but then they're going to let that thing kind of burn down. Then they're all going to go to bed because then they're going to get up at the crack of dawn because then the light's coming on.
Right.
Just like animals wake up, you know, the rooster crows in the morning. Whatever the rooster does.
Yeah.
I'm obviously not a farmer.
Nope. You got it.
But the rooster crows in the morning. Other animals are starting to wake up in the morning.
Right.
And we as animals as well would naturally wake up in the morning if we went to bed on time.
Right.
When we're supposed to.
So I've heard there are advocates out there that, you know, they're all about, like, you should sleep in a pitch black room. You should sleep at this optimal temperature, you know, do these things matter, or are these just fads, or?
They do matter. And there are, but I'd also say that there are a variety, there's like a checklist of things that you can do. Oh, in fact, I just made it. We send it to we have a 90-day, like a health group that we do, like every 90 days, we get a new cohort of people that we take through this thing. And I just made up a sleep hygiene checklist for them. I can send it to you.
Okay.
And what it talks about is the different things you can do to improve your sleep. And pitch dark room is one. But if you can't do a pitch dark room, you can wear one of those sleep, you know, those things that people use for traveling on the planes, those little blindfold kind of things.
Right.
That helps. You can, what was the other thing you said? You said temperature.
Temperature
is a pretty big deal. Like, people tend to sleep in rooms that are too warm. So it's better to have, but it's really the, it would be better to have more blankets and colder air, because the air that we breathe should be cool.
I'm all for that.
Me too. And then going to bed early is important. Going to bed earlier, but also one of the hardest things for us in the modern day society is to turn off or not use our electronics with screens at night.
That's tough.
Yeah, so we recommend.
I do all my reading on my iPhone, so you're asking me to stop reading at night, is what you're doing.
I'll give you some tips.
Okay.
So one thing you could do is you can get a Kindle Paperwhite and use that for your bedtime reading. That would be a good way. You could have favorite books. I know that you're kind of downsizing all of your possessions.
Mm-hmm.
But for people who don't do that, they could keep a stack of actual paper books near their bed and choose just to read those. I'm one of those people that have books everywhere, and I read different books all over the house that I'm constantly reading. So it seems like it takes forever to finish one book because, yeah. but if you add them all up and average them, I'm actually reading them pretty fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I could keep, I keep paper books next to the bed. Okay. So I would read those, but a Kindle Paperwhite, even though it's electronic, doesn't have a glow that shines into your eyes.
Okay.
It's not, and part of it is the light that's shining out of the device. Part of it is the wavelength of light. And it's, these devices have a blue light, just like the sun. Mm-hmm. And even though you don't see it as blue, it's this blue light, very white, whitish blue, yeah. triggers your brain subconsciously to think that you're still, that it's daytime.
Oh, see, I use the sepia mode on my Kindle app. So there you
go. Oh, excellent. Excellent. that's a very good start. But I will say that these things still produce the blue light, but they just yeah. add sepia to it to yeah. kind of cover it up.
Yeah.
So, but for best results, make it as dim as possible.
Okay.
And you can wear these super cool looking glasses that are like blue blockers.
Okay.
Remember the blue blockers?
Yes, part? I do. Yeah. Okay. And the guy, so the rapper guy.
That... Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's these same things, but they're very popular in the gaming and computer gaming industry. So
okay.
Because they increase contrast on these screens, but and for target practice, like you can see hunters wear them.
Really.
And things like that.
What are they? Yeah, do you know? Are they the blue blocker sunglasses, or are they something else just similar?
Yeah, it's any lens that has this sort of yellow tint to it, yellow okay. or orange tint. Blue blockers work, but they, if you look on Amazon, there's plenty of them that say sleep glasses and things like that, or sleep and gaming glasses. Some of them are really like big goggles.
Right.
Like, so if you wear actual glasses, you might need to have goggles to go over them. Just sort of like the, you know, like if you go to like a 3D movie, you still have to fit the your regular glasses underneath 3D glasses.
Right.
Similar to that. So that can really help. So dim the lights, dim the screens. Wear these glasses, and if possible, you want to stop watching computers, TV, things like that,
yeah.
which have this light and stimulating effect, about an hour or more before bed.
Okay. You should probably be doing that anyway. Let's face it. Yeah,
probably. I think everyone probably, once they hear it once, they probably know, but they just, they you know, they see that article pop up, and they close that one. They don't want to do
that. Well, I can't read it, because it's on my device.
That's right. They should... That's right.
All right. Well, we've run past the time, and with good reason, because there's so much here we could talk about, and I'm fascinated by all things health. Really, I know I don't look like I am, but I am, and I follow all the stuff you post. You know, I get a lot from you, so I appreciate your help, even though I blatantly ignore most of your advice. I appreciate it. So, where can people find out more about you?
The easiest way is our website, eatwellmovewell.com. And there's, all of our, you can find me there. You can sign up for our newsletter, invite everyone to sign up to our newsletter. And I've got plenty of books. We have like 5 books on Amazon. We've got the one that we mentioned, Man on Top. We've got a nutrition book, which is really talking about this really simple way of eating. It's called... The Real Food Reset.
Yep.
But then there's sort of like I wrote a couple years ago like my little fat loss manifesto. It's called All You Have to Do Is Start, and I made it permanently free on Amazon, so you can get it there.
Okay.
As well.
Okay. And when does the new book come out?
End of spring.
Okay.
Spring. Yeah.
All right. What's the hold up, man? You got lives to save here.
I know. But, you know, it's like we are, it's interesting because it's, you know, my publisher said this, you wrote too many words.
You can pull a Tim Ferriss and pull those chapters and make them additional content for the people who sign up on your site.
Yes, exactly. That's what we're going to do. Because right. It's interesting then that when we originally came up with the concept, we sat down with our publisher and we talked about this thing and this book, and it was 52.
Uh-huh.
We loved the idea of 52, 1 week out of the year. Even though people don't have to take a year to do it, I just love the idea. 52 yeah. cards, 52, you know, whatever. All these 52 is a great number. But then when we started writing, we said, well, we want more. We have so many things. We have so many things to do. And then, but when you're, you know, if it was just an ebook, it would be, it's one thing. But right. if you have a book that's going to be 400 pages.
Right.
Right.
right. Yeah.
It's pretty tough. So
in that market, yeah.
Yeah. So we're not only trimming things down, then there's some exercises in there too. So some of them require some space. So we're looking at the ways to sort of trim it down. And as we do it, it's been actually, we got back into that 52 again, and we love some of the ones had some overlap. So we take those off, and we're going to sort of use them as we have some fun ideas for how to take these and use them so people can get a little bit of extra, some extra things in some areas that they're really interested in, and I think get even more out of the book.
Yeah, I think that's smart. I mean, that's called marketing, so you're doing it right. Yeah. I'm fond of 30 days, personally, so I understand where you're coming from. Everything I write seems to be 30 days something. So
our other book, The Real Food Reset, is 30 days. So it's a 30-day plan. And the coaching program that we take people through starts off with 30 days of real food.
Yeah.
And then goes and then it's 60 and 90 days of new health habits.
Sounds like an opportunity for crossover. That's all I'm going to say.
I know.
So, all right, everybody. Thanks. And thanks, Roland, for being on the show, man. I really appreciate it. And all your support and everything. You're a great guy, actually. I will happily promote you in any way I can. So.
Thank you for having me. I feel the same way. I'm a little bit choked up. You make me cry.
To all of you out there who are sniffling right now into your sleeves, make sure you check out the show notes so you can follow up on all the things that Roland has set up for us. Definitely check out eatwellmovewell.com. You'll also find links in the show notes to Roland on Twitter, Facebook, his author page on Amazon, that sort of thing. You'll find all kinds of ways to get in touch. Definitely pick up Man on Top, no matter what you think that might mean. No, I'm kidding. And be on the lookout for Eat Well, Move Well, Live Well, 52 Ways to Feel Better in a Week. And our next episode, we are going to feature someone who, knows how to shorten a title. That's where we're going. So anyway, thanks again, Roland, for being on the show, man. And everyone else, hang out. We'll do a wrap-up right after. It's probably going to be a really short one. So
thanks for having me, Kevin.
Thanks, Roland. See you next week, everyone. Okay, as promised, we're going to do a real quick wrap-up here since we did go an hour plus, but thank you for tuning in and listening. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Roland Denzel as much as I enjoyed talking to him. So, and I hope you got a lot out of that. You know, after talking to him, I've started doing a lot more to sort of improve my own health. And it's small steps. I'm taking small steps. So I'm doing a lot more walking. I'm eating a little better. I'm reducing calories. I still make mistakes. You're going to do that, right? You're going to make mistakes. The real kicker here is you need to own up to those mistakes and then make better choices next time. So not easy, but you can do it. I know you can do it because you're an amazing person. You really are an amazing person. So thank you for tuning in, amazing person, and thank you for being so amazing. And we're going to go ahead and wrap up. Now, if you have questions for me or for anyone who's ever appeared on the show, I can always forward things and get them to pop back on or something if I have to. But you can call me at 281-809-WORD. That's 281-809-9673, and you leave me a voicemail. You can do that right from my website as well. No one ever uses the SpeakPipe plugin, which I think is interesting, but it's there for you. You can use it if you want. You can email me from the site if you go to wordslingerpodcast.com and click on the contact button. You can send me an email. I added this, and we'll see what happens. I've added a bunch of little checkboxes if you want to talk to me about specific things. So, for example, if you want to book me for a speaking engagement or, whatever, some consulting or whatever, you can check those boxes. So that's new. I hadn't had that on there before, and I probably should have. But if you are interested in any of that, just let me know. And of course, thank you for your support by listening, your support by sending me such wonderful emails and messages. I get so many great people who contact me on social media and elsewhere to say that, you know, they've you know, jumped on the mailing list and they enjoy the show and they, you know, they're looking forward to the next episode. And that really makes it worthwhile. So thank you for all that. Thank you for your support via Patreon. Those little donations actually all add up. And they make my day when they come through. They really do. And it's not the money. It's the kind words that usually accompany the money. Or it's the fact that someone out there is listening and cares and wants to see the show do better. So thank you for that. Thank you for buying my books. That is a huge support, not just to this show, but to me as an author. I mean, that's kind of why I do this. So all that gratitude, I love you for it. God bless you for it. And we're going to go ahead and wrap up, and I will see you all next week. Today, by the way, is Good Friday, so God bless each of you and your families, and I hope you have a wonderful Easter weekend. I'm a Christian. You may not be a Christian. That doesn't matter. What you should know, what the most important message here is that I love you deeply, and I pray to my God, even if it's not necessarily your God, that you're blessed and you have all the prosperity and all the happiness and joy that you can possibly have. So all my best to you on this Good Friday and this Easter weekend, and take care of yourselves out there, and I'll see you all next week.
Wordslinger.